This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 37 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. You guys are all about some auction drafts this year, man. This season, more than ever, I've been crushed with auction questions. Just crushed. My mentions are usually filled with people wanting gifts of Jeff Fisher, but this year, they're filled with people wanting to talk auction. So auction, I will talk. If you've never done an auction draft before, it's pretty straightforward. Unlike a snake draft where you're given certain slots to make selections, an auction draft gives each team a specific amount of pretend money to spend on players. That specific amount of money can change depending on the commissioner and where you're hosting the draft, but the bottom line here is that people nominate players to be auctioned off, you bid up the players dollar by dollar, and when a player reaches a point where no other teams are trying to bid him up, he becomes your player. He is a part of your team. It's just like a real auction. If you've seen the show Storage Wars, then you understand how auction drafts work in fantasy football. Except I've never drafted with a person going, yup, with every bid. The uniform budget for auction drafts generally hovers around $200. Why? I honestly couldn't tell you. It may be because that's ESPN's default. I've been doing auction drafts for about 10 years now, and I've never questioned the side of things because it really doesn't matter. It's all relative. But with auction drafts, while your goal is the same, you want to compile a good fantasy football team, the tactics in doing so are dramatically different versus a snake draft. Before I get into these tactics, though, I wanted to send a quick reminder that, as you know, the NFL season is just around the corner, and you can catch all the games on TuneIn and the TuneIn app. At home or on the go, listen to the home call of every game live, or pop in and out of the action every Sunday with NFL First and Goal. That's TuneIn's audio red zone station. Download the TuneIn app today and listen to the NFL for free for 30 days. TuneIn is your everything audio app. Now let's dig into six things to remember as you auction draft this season. The first thing to note is that tiering players is actually more important in auction drafts than in snake drafts. As always, I think it's useful to first look at why auctions differ from snake drafts at the highest level possible. The easiest way to understand strategy in this game of fantasy football is to look at things from a bird's eye view. So let's do that. In a snake draft, things are linear. Pick one is the same distance away as pick two, which is the same distance away as pick three. But as we know, fantasy football is not linear. This season, most consider Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson in their own tier. That makes the drop-off after picks one and two to pick three more significant than the drop-off from just pick one to pick two. If David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell are in the same tier, that means they're interchangeable in rank. So picking first or second shouldn't matter a ton. Despite knowing this, the person who's picking third in a snake draft is forced to pick someone. They have to pick a player there, even though there's a clear drop in tier. And the difference in their pick there at selection three has the same hypothetical value drop as the person picking second compared to the person picking first. And if we're being honest, that's not totally fair, and it's honestly very unlucky for the person who's picking third. Auction drafts are not like that, though. You're not forced to do anything. Meaning, if there truly is a top tier in David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, it'll be reflected in auction prices. If Zeke Elliott is the consensus number three player and not valued at the level of Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson, he should hypothetically be cheaper than Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. And that difference in price would hypothetically be greater than the difference in price from pick two to pick three. This is why auctions are awesome, if we're being honest. You're paying for how you value players, not because you're forced to pick players. But to value players properly, you need tiers. And that plays into the second and third tips I want to share with you guys today. I've titled this second tip, Beware of the You. I've actually written about this idea over on RotoWorld a few times, and I've alluded to it on other podcasts. It's somewhat subjective based on drafts that I've done, and if you were to look at a massive sample size, the notion might even be lost in that data. But let me walk through it anyway, because there's a big psychological component to doing auction drafts, and this idea makes sense to me intuitively. Picture a U, the letter U. Now think of a tier of players. Let's use the Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham tier as an example. You may not have those three as a tier, but this is just an example, so hear me out, guys. Imagine the first player in that tier gets nominated, and it's Julio Jones. Assuming everyone values each of those players equally, or a few players in your league value them equally, Julio Jones will go for, say, $60. The next player in that tier gets nominated, and it's Odell Beckham. Again, we should assume people value him just as they value Julio Jones. Because fantasy owners know there's still a player left in that tier, they may have the tendency to not bid as much on a particular player that's being nominated. There's a contingency plan. There's a backbone if owners don't get Odell Beckham. That's where the letter U comes into play. The letter U is just a graph where the Y-axis is price and the X-axis is the count of players nominated in a tier. OBJ would be number 2 of 3 in that tier, so he'd be at the bottom of the U, or the lowest cost. Then when it's Antonio Brown's turn for nomination, everyone goes ham with their pricing because they realize, crap, he's the last dude in that tier. I need to get him. That's why the U, or the graph, shoots back up. That's why there's an end to the letter U. I mean, to be honest, you may even want to consider this more of a J instead of a U, and that'd actually be a lot cooler for the hashtag brand since my name is JJ. But just be ready for that last player, if nothing else, in a specific tier to have spiked value. It's a very, very real thing. The next point I'm going to make is pretty obvious. But guys, don't forget to pay attention to the market as the draft is going. If you see Julio Jones go for $60 and then Odell Beckham go for $57, it would be silly to make the assumption that Antonio Brown's value is somewhere in the $90 range. There will undoubtedly be times where bidding wars happen, and that can ruin the way we look at particular values within the draft. But it's never a bad idea to reference similar players and what they went for when a particular guy is up for auction. Again, this is super obvious, but I had to say it. The fourth tip I want to give you guys is that even though snake drafts aren't auction drafts, snake drafts can still help. It's very, very hard to do a mock auction draft. They take forever and they're not easily accessible. And it's very, very difficult to find average costs within an auction draft versus a snake draft. But average draft position is just the cost of a player. And we know that an auction dollar amount is also the cost of a player. It's not like you're playing a different game when doing an auction draft versus a snake draft. You're playing the same game. It's still fantasy football. This kind of plays into the tiering notion that I just talked through, but if you see a group of players with similar ADPs go for similar dollar values, you should probably expect another player within their ADP range to go for a similar price. It's not rocket science. But I do see people way too often just ignoring snake draft data because they don't see how it can translate to auction drafts. But it does very, very easily. The next thing I want to talk about is nominating. There are a lot of strategies and takes on how to nominate players for an auction, and my general opinion is to nominate players that you don't want early in the draft. I know that if I'm going into a single quarterback draft, I'm not valuing the quarterback position the same way that my opponents are. So when it's my turn to nominate, I'm going to throw up Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Drew Brees. And I'll especially do that early on when people have money. You know how humans work. When they've got money, they're more inclined to spend it. So if you put Aaron Rodgers up to be bid on right away, then people will spend money. And if they spend money, you're at an advantage. You become the bully in the room. Later on in the draft, it's fine to nominate guys you want, but make sure you're in a good position to get them. Read the room, see who's got money, and see if that guy who has the most money could be looking to get the same player that you are. If he's got a ton of running backs, for instance, and you want to get someone like Rex Burkhead, then nominate Burkhead and hope that he doesn't bid him up given he's got so many running backs. Basically, you have to eventually nominate players that you want because it's the only way that you can get cheap $1 players. But showing your hand too early when you don't have close to the most cash remaining can result in you losing out on a ton of players that you want. The final tip I want to share is that stars and scrubs is the way to go, especially in 2017. Stars and scrubs is very straightforward. You get a ton of guys that would be the equivalent of early round picks, and then you just get a lot of guys who are more late round dart throws. So far, everything I've said is either obvious or moderately subjective. That's not how I really roll when it comes to fantasy football, as you guys know, but the mind game component of auction drafts sort of forces that subjectivity. This last point of going stars and scrubs is actually mathematical. I've mentioned this before, but when you chart fantasy points scored versus ADP, meaning the number of fantasy points a player scored in a season versus where he was drafted in the preseason, you get somewhat of a lowercase L-shaped curve. Essentially, what it shows is that there's a steep drop-off after the first couple of rounds of your draft before getting into round 4 or 5, where things become a little more linear. And with that, I think I've broken the record for the most times the word linear has been said on a fantasy football podcast. But seriously, think back to middle school when you first learned about the slope of a line. The rise over the run. That's what we're looking at here if you can visualize it. The slope of a trend line with this ADP versus postseason result data is super steep to start, and then it starts to level off. What this tells us is that early round picks are very, very valuable. Like, more valuable than you probably think. I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but this is an easy way to think of it. A first round pick in a redraft league to a fourth round pick in that same league is a 3-round difference. So is a 6th round pick to a 9th round pick. But the difference between a first rounder and a 4th rounder is so much significantly greater than a 6th rounder to a 9th rounder. And it has to do with what I mentioned earlier. The expected fantasy point drop off in the early rounds is a lot greater than in the middle and later rounds. So use that to your advantage in an auction draft. Remember, you're not forced to make a 5th round selection or a 6th round one. Gather up your studs, who we know are more valuable than what the consensus even thinks, and then throw some darts on what are normally 8th, 9th, 10th, 15th round picks. And that's an even bigger deal in 2017, in my opinion. Because if you look at draft boards, those 4th and 5th round picks really don't project a whole lot differently than players that you can get in the 7th. Like, even more so than in most seasons, or at least according to my projections. So if people do indeed value players based on the round they're being drafted in, which you should generally do, like I said earlier, with relating auction drafts to snake drafts, then you're at an advantage this year if you do go stars and scrubs. That's based on player evaluation that I've done, sure, but stars and scrubs is also a uniform strategy that can work most seasons. So even if the player evaluation is wrong, you're still right. Hopefully these 6 things make sense. I know it was a slightly different type of show than most, only because, like I said earlier, strategy like this is more based on experience and subjectivity above all else. But if only a handful of you took something away from the show, then that's a victory. As always, if you want to hear more of this show, you can subscribe to it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn. Don't forget about the TuneIn app. And just a reminder, if you go to iTunes and leave a rating and review, you'll be placed in a drawing to get a free NumberFire premium subscription for an entire year. 2 people are going to win by the time football season starts, so get those ratings and reviews in. Thanks for listening, everyone. A mailbag episode will be ready to download on Friday.